And so that's where I actually experienced birth story listening for the first time. And I knew when I walked out of that room, oh my gosh, this is what I needed. Like, I am now changed. Like, I can actually make peace with this story because I found the thing that I didn't know was missing in terms of this whole story. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Hi, I'm Rachel, owner of The Natural Birth Site, certified birth doula, childbirth educator, and midwife's assistant.
And I'm Tiffany Muniz, certified birth doula, lactation counselor, and midwife assistant.
Here, you'll learn all about different aspects of pregnancy, birth, and postpartum.
Remember, none of this information should take the place of your care provider and is not medical advice.
Birth is not a medical emergency.
Thanks for listening.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Natural Birth Talk. I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Rachel.
Today, we have a very special guest, Emmy Kissinger. She is here to talk about writing and talking about your birth story. Emmy, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I would love to. Thank you so much for having me. Like they said, my name is Emmy Kissinger. I am a Midwest mom of three. I have had, just for a little bit of context, my first birth was an emergency cesarean, and that really led me down this road of needing to heal a traumatic birth experience that I had had myself, but also led to great redemption of having a home birth and then a free birth after that. So I have three really beautiful children. We live here in Iowa, and I'm living the entrepreneurial mom life. And so it's a busy one and it's crazy, but it's so fun and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's awesome. I'd love to hear a little bit about what you do. Obviously, Rachel and I are both doulas. We both have been to lots of different types of births, you know, amazing, beautiful, empowering ones, ones that, you know, have left moms possibly feeling traumatic or feeling traumatized. Sorry. So yeah, tell us a little bit about like, what it is exactly you do, and what was it that first birth that kind of like led you down this path?
Yeah, my first birth was definitely the catalyst. I had been thinking I'm going to have like a natural birth in the hospital. My heart was telling me kind of I wanted to do it at home, but I just wasn't there like as a empowered woman yet to make that decision for myself. So ended up having, you know, that classic cascade of interventions in the hospital setting that led to the emergency C-section and then the needing to heal after the fact in a very physical way, but also mental health wise as well. And has just led me to create these offerings that I feel like are needed in the current landscape of, you know, all of the different types of births that are happening. So the first thing that I really offer is monthly birth story writing workshops, because for me, that first thing that I needed to do on my healing journey was kind of parse out my story. I needed to organize the chaos of it, find out, you know, within myself what had really happened and kind of organize those details a little bit. And so now being more deep into this work, I realized that people write their birth stories for many different reasons. And I have done this as well. It can be to find closure. It can be to process. And it can also be to memorialize those stories, to pass them down for future generations so that the young women and even young men in our life have stories that can act as the wayfinder for the future stories and rites of passage that they will go through when they welcome a child into their life. And then beyond that, I also offer birth story listening sessions. So that's something I'm certified in and learned from Pam England's work. She wrote the book Birthing from Within, which is an instrumental story and book to read if you are looking to heal from birth trauma, but such important work in terms of actually connecting with individuals one-on-one to work through their story, to kind of boil it down, to figure out what was the really hard thing that happened that I need to work through now. Having an opportunity to hold that in our body, make that mind-body connection. Where is that trauma sitting? Where do I need that transformation? Finding those limiting beliefs that maybe we picked up from that story, that thing that happened to us, that event that we weren't expecting to have happen, and transform that into something that we can move forward with and make peace with so that we can find closure with those really hard stories. Because I'm not sure about either of you, but for me, when I experienced that really traumatic birth, it was something that weighed on me daily. It was something that whenever I had a friend who was giving birth, it was sort of like a panic that rose up inside of me. And I could feel those different trauma points in my body where I really needed to do that work.
Wow. That
That sounds like something that is very needed in our current culture. And something else I kind of wanted to add or maybe ask, or I don't know what the right word is there, but like in telling birth stories, I think we also get different perspectives.
Sure.
You know, like obviously the OB has this perspective. Like Emmy, for example, maybe your first birth, the OB thought probably everything went well until it didn't. And then it was an emergency and that was good and great. And you should be happy because everybody's healthy and strong, right? And then you have maybe your husband's or birth partner's or whoever is in the room, maybe their perspective of things. And then you have your perspective of things as the mom. And then I think a lot of times moms don't get all the pieces because they're so focused in the labor and labor land and just kind of trying to get through each wave that a lot of times moms don't catch all of the little things that are going on.
And that's one reason, writing your story can be so powerful. Because you'll realize maybe where those gaps are or even find those moments of beauty and joy within your story that you didn't know were there also.
That's so true. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think I can also add to that. So in the work that I've done with Pam England, there are different perspectives of how that story went within the circle of people who attended or were associated with the birth in any way. But then there's also different story gates that the woman or birthing person themselves also goes through. The story shifts and changes. So for me, right after I had my baby, definitely that hero complex of, oh my gosh, thank goodness I was here for the, you know, these people were here to save me. Then I went home and my story changed and I was having conversations with my sister about what really happened. Did it really need to go that way? I'm very confused. And then changing to a different, you know, narrative, which is, I think things could have been different. I feel I'm beginning to kind of gain a grasp of my story. I'm looking for ways to heal this story. So it changes, you know, over and over again, the more work that we do with that story.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool. So when you take on a client and you start working with them about their birth story, is that kind of like what happens, you know, like you meet with them initially, they have one story, and then by the end, it's kind of like transformed into something different.
So it's actually quite incredible, but a birth story listening session, generally we only need one. And it's usually 60 to 90 minutes long of working through that story. But typically, a lot of times, and obviously this is no guarantee or anything like that, but we can dig into the exact piece that needs to be dug into and kind of find some resolution and release some of those feelings, because we are making that mind-body connection and feeling out exactly, you know, what needs to be found, putting those pieces back together a little bit. So we typically only do the one session. And from the many, many people I've worked with and the people my mentors have worked with, a lot of times it can be resolved. Sometimes we'll come back and do a second session. But there's obviously extreme cases where maybe you're going to need more work, need, you know, ongoing therapy with someone who, you know, is specifically trained in postpartum work and that kind of thing. But
Wow.
I feel like that's a really good gap between paying for like a postpartum therapist, which can be very, very pricey, but still giving you that ability to kind of process what happened.
And I have met people who have been in therapy with a therapist who was specifically trained in supporting people who are doing postpartum depression, have postpartum anxiety, for months and months and months, and then did one birth story listening session and was able to kind of find that thing that they were looking for and find more resolution. So it's truly a really supportive process. And even if you're just able to make a pocket size shift, a lot of times that will, you know, be enough to help you at least feel maybe at more peace, maybe more content, be able to be more present with your children and those types of things.
Very cool.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about like how a session works.
Oh yeah, that's a great question. So I think I mentioned it already. It's a guided process. So it's definitely not like an active listening session where the person's coming and I'm just listening to their story and maybe doing some summarizing, validating. I'm actually a school psychologist, so I have a lot of background in mental health worked in that profession for 7.5 years. So know a lot about how, you know, a typical therapy session could potentially go or would potentially go. And it's really not like that at all. So we sit down for that time together. We set an intention at the beginning, and then we move through a very specific process of figuring out, you know, which piece we need to kind of dig into more, where it's sitting in the body, how different medicine type things we can offer to resolve that conflict that's happening. And by medicine, I don't mean like pharmaceuticals. I mean like different healing modalities, trauma-based work, somatic work, that type of thing, that might need to be a little bit more ongoing. But primarily the focus is to truly take that limiting belief that was maybe picked up during that experience and transform it into a new self-belief that the person can carry forward, and developing a symbol or some sort of anchor to help them actually take that information and carry it into their daily life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's almost like at least for some women, I'm sure just kind of sharing their birth story is like giving them permission to feel upset about it.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, because we always hear happy mom, happy baby. That's the goal. You should be happy. You should be fine. Your baby's healthy. You're healthy.
If you're healthy, that's all that matters.
Right. Yeah. And obviously what they really mean, they don't mean healthy. They mean alive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
But, you know, so women, I think a lot of women struggle with feeling disappointed in their birth stories.
Yeah.
Because they're told like your baby's happy. You should be happy. But like in having a session with you, Emmy, it seems like it. For at least some women, it can just open up this relief of just having permission to feel.
Yeah. And one thing I always like to say is a birth story and any sort of traumatic situation that happens to us, it's one of those things where, you know, we can't go over it. We can't go under it. We have to go through it. It's like that, you know, we're going on a bear hunt. Mm-hmm. We have to sit in this for a little bit and be uncomfortable in order to truly move forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like labor.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Great comparison.
Yeah. Wow. What else you got, Rachel?
Hey, everyone. Rachel Manns here. And today I have something I'm thrilled to share with you guys. Imagine having a treasure trove of informative, entertaining, and empowering video content about the journey to parenthood right at your fingertips. That's exactly what you get with Informed Pregnancy Plus. For less than 25 cents a day, that's a quarter, guys, you'll gain access to a vast subscription library filled with documentary films, web series, mind and body fitness programs, workshops, and courses covering fertility to parenting and everything in between. Designed for new and expectant parents, as well as pregnancy and birth professionals, Informed Pregnancy Plus is like having a trusted BFF and doctor in one, guiding you through every step of the path to and through parenthood. A few of just my favorite titles are obviously The Business of Being Born, Empowered Mama, Belly Dance for Birth, How Fun Is That?, Ease into Sleep, The Afterbirth Plan, and The Core Connection, an extremely well-presented and informative workshop teaching you about your core and pelvic floor and how to keep them healthy. And here's the best part. For a limited time, you can gain full access absolutely free. Just visit informedpregnancy.tv to sign up. Sign up for Informed Pregnancy Plus right now. I'm not kidding, guys. It's really going to help you out. It's my prescription for your informed and empowered parenting journey, all from the comfort of your home. Visit informedpregnancy.tv. That's informedpregnancy.tv, and the link will be in the description below. Now back to the show. I don't know. I just find the whole topic super interesting.
I know. That's where I just,
I'm over here thinking like, well, I have a couple questions. Okay. Number one, did you actually talk to Pam England?
I know. I
was like, that's too. My first question just as a birth worker. Like, did you actually talk to her?
Or I
know she's got a lot of trainers.
Given Pam England a hug.
What?
One of the chosen ones. Yes.
Oh my gosh. How
that's
cool.
Amazing. That's and so awesome.
I can dig into that a little bit. So where...
Yeah.
I had my son in 2014 and kind of started my healing journey at that time. And through that journey, I joined International Cesarean Awareness Network.
Your son. So this is the first one, the C-section?
Yes. Okay, yep. So that was nine years ago. Yep. Okay. And I think he was around 18 months old when I had the opportunity to go to an International Cesarean Awareness Conference. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I went to Alabama. I packed up my son. The two of us went on a plane and we journeyed over there. And Pam was actually there as a speaker, and she did a birth story listening session, a group session for the whole audience that was there of who were needing to work through their birth stories. And so that's where I actually experienced birth story listening for the first time. And I knew when I walked out of that room, oh my gosh, this is what I needed. Like, I am now changed. Like, I can actually make peace with this story because I found the thing that I didn't know was missing in terms of this whole story. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. I that is always so awesome. I think it's so funny how, like, in this birth world we're in, like, people to us that, like, maybe our listeners have heard of just because of the topic, but most people have never heard of, and Tiffany and I are over here, and I guess you too, Emmy, we're over here like, oh my gosh, that's so exciting. This person's like so famous to us, and other people are like, hey.
I have a sweatshirt that has her name on it. It has like several people's names on it, you know, like Ina Mae, Penny Simpson.
Oh yeah.
And everybody is always like, who are these people? And I'm like, you don't understand. Like,
right.
Sweatshirt. Oh my gosh.
You don't understand the significance of these women right here. Yeah.
Oh yes. So true. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So then going to that, you know, ICANN meeting and meeting Pam and, you know, going through that, is that what kind of led you to like home birth and then free birth after that?
Yeah. So definitely the whole empowerment journey. That was the first thing I actually did before I even went to that conference was I had read the book Birthing From Within. So was a huge Pam England fan at that point because starting to do some of the exercises she has in terms of using art as a way to work through your birth trauma was something that I had started with. I had made some really intricate paintings of kind of how things had gone, how I wished they had gone, how I thought they could be better the next time. So I was able to start processing in that way. Yeah. And so
the art therapy is so helpful. I use it. It's in my online natural birth education class, like in the mind body connection. I push birth art like in several situations. And I'm always talking to my clients about it because it just has this way of like kind of opening up your mind to like get out of just what you're thinking and to get kind of into what your body's actually feeling or your subconscious is feeling. I just think birth art is a really powerful tool.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I 100% agree for sure. Yes.
Now I'm just thinking about birth art. So it's got me like all distracted.
We've been on so many good topics already.
Also, my computer is getting ready to die and I had to send my 10-year-old to go get my charger. So that's distracting me. I may or may not edit that part out of the episode. Maybe it'll give the listeners a good laugh. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. Let's define free birth because I think maybe some of our listeners don't know what that means.
Yeah.
That is kind of a hot topic. I don't know if you guys know right now. It's a pretty hot topic.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So for me personally, free birth meant that I did not have any professionals who were trained that I was paying at my birth. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I did have my sister there who... she was a midwife's assistant for a few years. And so she is trained in some of the like neonatal resuscitation, those types of things, which made me feel really comfortable and really great. But ultimately, it was very possible that she wouldn't have made it there. And so it would have just been me and my husband. And we were 100% comfortable with that. We had done it previously with a midwife and things had gone really smoothly, really great. I listened to a lot of stories about free birth and felt confident in that option. And also knew within myself that my plan was to just always be paying attention to baby's movements throughout that entire labor. And that's exactly what I did. And when I got to the point where I had felt baby move for about, you know, a few minutes and it made me a little bit nervous. So I asked my husband to please get out the Doppler. Mm-hmm. And then I squatted down and had her.
Awesome. So you know, and I guess some people define free birth as, you know, like absence of medical attendance, but maybe a doula or someone would be present, or sometimes it's just them by themselves. Sometimes they get prenatal care, sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I think at the core, it's that there's not a medical professional at your birth that you are paying for the purpose of basically being a midwife.
Yeah, I think that that's the definition. For me personally, at least, because paying someone creates a power differential. I mean, that's sometimes good and sometimes not good. But for me personally, paying someone means that you're you're shifting the power dynamic a little bit. And for me in my first home birth, that was 100% what I needed. I needed a maternal presence that I could count on, that I believed would be right by my side. And I was 100% happy to pay her for that service. With my free birth, the midwife that I worked with actually was not going to be available due to some very unfortunate family events. And so being in a very rural area in Iowa, my options were pretty much, I mean, I'm a VBAC mom.
Yeah.
Barely any. So having someone, you know, to be there with us was not really an option. So I had to really dig within myself and figure out what was the right answer for our family. So
and you did so safely. You know, yeah, you made sure you were educated. You made sure someone else educated was going to, you know, at least possibly be there. And right. I think that can be the key, which I know is not the topic of today, but I just think it's, you know, we were talking about rebirth, so we might
it's
as well.
It's so interesting.
Might as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
But, and then now, you know, your free birth is one of your, you know, and your home birth, but both of them better than your hospital experience, which unfortunately I hear all the time. And so, you know, a home birth or a free birth can be traumatic as well. And so for the listeners, you know, just because you had a home birth or a free birth doesn't mean you can't take advantage of Emmy's services, or doesn't mean that you don't have some trauma that needs to be processed. But the majority of the time, and maybe that's just because the majority of births take place in the hospital, but the majority of the time, it's the hospital births that have the cascade of interventions that bring in a lot of the trauma and things like that, unfortunately.
Yeah. And I'll also say that this process, the birth story listening process, can be applied to a lot of other types of these early motherhood stories. It could be related to fertility challenges. That could be extremely challenging. Can be related to the miscarriage process, can be related to the stillbirth event when that happens. So there's lots of different breastfeeding challenges, anything like that, truly around like the early motherhood years can be something that we dig into, because trauma is really the same no matter what phase it took place in during those events.
For sure. Yeah.
Do either of you guys have anything else you want to add?
Now, I find this all so interesting. I feel like I have so many clients who could benefit from this from like previous births.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. I'm over here thinking, Tiffany, this may be a way we can make money a little bit easier by training in birth story processing for our area. Even though, Emmy, I'm assuming you can do it all virtual, right? That's
yes,
why we're
yes.
here talking, right?
Primarily Does the it? Sessions are virtual. Yep. The only other thing I guess I would add is the book Healing Trauma by Peter Levine. That's also been a really, really helpful book. It kind of digs into the somatic aspect of trauma a little bit more and goes into detail about how, you know, if we watch animals, if we watch them go through a traumatic experience, we can see how their bodies move and shake things off and how they actually recover and move forward, and how that can be very similar to our experience, except for in many of these situations, we were actually trapped. We were physically unable to move or access the support that we needed. And that's oftentimes the reason the trauma becomes trapped in our body and needs to then have a little bit of assistance to be released. So I think that's
interesting.
A great book to refer people to if you're just getting started. Because I know, at least for me in my journey, the first thing I needed to do was talk to somebody about it over and over and over again. That was my sister, a very trusted person. And then I needed to start dabbling in resources on my own before I was ready to actually access community support or really tell my story to someone who could help me through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that could be a common kind of thought process too, because for a lot of people, their birth story is very private. Right. Not for Tiffany and I, because we'll just like tell our story.
Tell it all the time, right?
But a lot of people, that is a very private, that's a very private story and an intimate story. So to be able to share that with others could be a bit of a challenge. I could see that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially the story that's on the inside, the internalized story that we're telling ourselves. We have a version that we tell people on the outside, a very short medicalized version most of the time. Yeah. And that story that's kind of festering up inside, if it's a challenging one, is oftentimes a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is so interesting.
It is.
I love the excitement on your faces.
I know. And I don't even use the video, so nobody can even see my face.
I know, right? Yeah.
So I will put all of your links, like your source resource recommendations, your Instagram link, your website. I will put all of that in the description. Just a reminder for the listeners, I have recently realized that the descriptions don't work very well on Apple or iTunes or some of the streaming services. So if you're looking for links in the description and it is not working, definitely head over to thenaturalbirthtalk.buzzsprout.com. You can go to our actual webpage, or you can go to thenaturalbirthsite.com and you can access our podcast from there, and you'll be able to actually see the links in the description. So, and it works fine on some of the other players too. So it may be fine, but I just wanted to remind the listeners that the links will be there, but they may not work depending on which service you're looking at or listening on. So, okay. Nothing else, right? We're done. We're good.
Thank you for bringing me on. Yeah. Just thank you both, Surfpurse, so much for doing the work that you do and having this podcast and sharing the good word, because the more voices that can amplify this message, the better.
That is so true. Thank 100%. You.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks for reaching out to be on the podcast. I think this is going to be a really awesome episode for some people.
I think so too.
So listeners, again, links will be in the description below. And thank you for listening. We'll talk to you in the next episode.
Bye.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Rachel Manns again. If you want to learn more, please subscribe to and rate this podcast and head over to thenaturalbirthsite.com to check out our online natural birth education course, birth story blog, YouTube channel, and more.